We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat, a place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball for the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
Hey guys, Fly on the Wall is back for another season. That's right, on audio and video every Monday and Thursday.
Follow and listen to Fly on the Wall everywhere you get your podcasts.
Yeah, but kids play Little League on a normal-sized baseball diamond and they don't complain about it. You know,
so
you
can that's not true. I complain about it all the time.
Well, you're a special case.
Well, Justin, I used to play, whenever I played a Little League game, there was nothing worse. On the 90-foot field, you move it up to the 60-foot field, you have like the pitcher's mound. First of all, you'd have to move the pitcher's mound up 16 feet. So you have to find a rubber just to put in the ground. This rubber isn't going to be mounted in the ground. So a kid is pushing off of a mound that isn't really there. Like, it's kind of just flimsy and flopping all around. And every half inning, the umpire has to go out and fix it. You have an elevated pitcher's mound because the mounds become elevated when you get to full size, like high school baseball. You have an elevated mound behind the pitcher's mound. You have outfielders standing in dirt. You have infielders standing in grass. I was not a fan of the Little Leaguers playing on the big infield. It was awful.
I don't believe in calling. I got the flu. I got this. I have a little. Show up and man up.
No. No. I'm not going to show. I mean, I did show up and man up and played, but it was awful. No kid should ever be subject to that.
You're acting like these kids are going for the World Series. They're learning to play baseball.
Well, I thought I was going to the World Series. Some of them were going to the Little League World Series, and that's the only field they have. I just didn't care for it. But I guess that's fair. You could probably play pickleball. You adjust the dimensions, and you figure out a way to make it work. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. Again, 215-592-9494. Got open phone lines now. If you're just joining us, I'll give you a quick synopsis of how I opened up the show, which is that it really bugs me. I can't believe that Nick Sirianni is still here. Like, I really can't believe that Nick Sirianni is still the coach. And I'll just quickly outline the reasons that I laid out to open the show, which is that it is obvious to me that he does not have the best relationship with Jalen Hurts. It's obvious to me that the franchise quarterback, the guy who paid all this money, who is eating up a lot of your salary cap space, like, the two of them just don't have this great relationship. And I'm not saying that that is necessarily a prerequisite, if I could talk. I'm not saying that that is like an end-all be-all, but it doesn't make me feel better about the fact that they brought him back. It doesn't make me feel better that a guy who they clipped his wings a little bit and gave him less responsibility, not more, when coaching in the year 2024, it doesn't make me feel better about the fact that he's here with Jalen Hurts. And it doesn't make me feel like, when I think about the pros and cons of this Eagles offseason, and there's a lot to be excited about. So again, I don't want to get this twisted. Like, I'm not excited for this season, or I think they're going to suck or anything like that. Probably around the 10 or 11 win mark. I think a different head coach might get me a little bit higher than that. But I'm excited to see what Jalen Hurts looks like in what I hope to be a bounce back year. I'm excited to see A.J. Brown and Devontae Smith and how much, you know, they play off the fact that now they have Saquon Barkley also involved in the offense. Like, I'm excited to see what this team looks like in totality. I am very excited to see it. What I'm not excited about, what I don't feel like is an asset, what I feel like is, you know, holding the Eagles back as a team, is the fact that Sirianni is still the coach. The fact that Sirianni, whether or not he actually has a ton to do with what's going on in the field, like, he's still supposed to be that CEO leader type of guy. And there's one of two scenarios that are true. Either he has a very hands-off role, in which case it's like, do I want a head coach who basically kind of sits back and lets guys who are technically beneath him on the coaching depth chart run the entire show? Or if he gets too involved, I don't feel good about that either. Like, I wish they hired someone else. I wish they cleared the stench of last year. The coordinators, I guess, wasn't enough for me. I don't feel great about the fact that Nick Sirianni's still here. It's obviously doesn't have a great relationship with the franchise quarterback. He showed very little ability, almost no ability, to adjust to what the league, like it feels like the league caught up to the Eagles. Defensive coordinators were learning how to play against them. You just blitz the hell out of them, and they figured out how to stop the Eagles' offense. He had no retort to it. And I still struggle to answer the question, what Nick Sirianni does well. And that's something that really, really bugs me here. Like, if I can't answer what he does well, or if the go-to answer is, well, he's a good motivator, but now he's going to be less in the trenches, you know, no pun intended, with these players in meeting rooms and things like that, why do I feel good that he's going to make his positive impact there anyway? Like, it just, the whole thing doesn't add up to me. I've been thinking about it lately with no Phillies on, 6 days to training camp. Does it bug you? Can you believe that Nick Sirianni is still the coach at 215-592-9494? Got to hit a break here, but on the other side, this is MLB All-Star Game. I very much enjoyed it. I'm curious to see how many people did or did not watch it. Want to play a couple of pieces of audio from that, a few takeaways I had from the game, and rock your calls again at 215-592-9494. He's Justin D'Orazio in the producer booth. I am Dan Wilson. You're listening to Sports Radio 94 WIP. Welcome back, Sports Radio 94 WIP. Dan Wilson with you. Justin D'Orazio is behind the glass. 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. So you have a couple guys on hold. We'll get to them in just a second. But MLB All-Star Game was on Tuesday. This caps off, I'll say, MLB All-Star Festivities Week. It's not MLB All-Star Weekend because it's Monday and Tuesday. So I don't know what you call it, but MLB All-Star
Week.
It's not a full week either.
Well, that's the official name, All-Star Week.
So it's All-Star Week that begins on
a Friday or a Saturday.
It's more so Saturday to Tuesday.
Yeah, it's a five-day period.
It's like a weekend into an early week, but the main events are on Monday or Tuesday. Anyway, I'm excited for when this thing comes to Philly in 2 years. I don't know how many people remember, but America's 250th birthday coming up, I forget what the name for it is. Like, it's not the bicentennial. That's like 100 years. There is a name for 250 years. I forget it. I remember not being particularly easy on how to say. But anyway, America's 250th birthday is coming up in 2 years. This is going to be at Citizens Bank Park. Citizens Bank Park has never hosted All-Star Week, weekend, whatever you want to call it. And I'm looking forward to it. I always enjoy the MLB All-Star Game. I know for a lot of older fans, it might not be what it used to be. Maybe that's just because you don't follow baseball as much, or the All-Star games used to matter more when the National League and the American League never played. And now these guys are all buddy-buddy, and you know, you don't have someone like Pete Rose trucking the catcher. I get baseball has evolved, but I still think it's really fun. I still enjoyed it. I think as a Phillies fan, you had to enjoy it on Tuesday night. And I want to get to a few pieces of audio here and just kind of recap the game a little bit for anyone who missed it. First of all, I believe this is now the second year, if not the third year, Justin, that they went to this model where back in the day, now I'm sounding like the old guy, back in the good old days of the 2000s, 2010s, baseball, I think, is by far the best All-Star game. It's the one where they try by far the most. For a while there, it was deciding home field in the World Series, which I didn't care for, but like I think guys still try without it now. You used to have guys wearing their All-Star designated jerseys, meaning it said National League or American League, with their name on the back, and they would wear that during the Home Run Derby and in batting practice. I think of the image when Ryan Howard won the Home Run Derby in 2006, and he's wearing his National League jersey. Or when Chase Utley did it in 2008, he's wearing his National League jersey. Or you see videos and photo of them in batting practice before the All-Star game, they're wearing their National League jersey. Now what they do is, and by the way, in the actual All-Star game, they'd wear the real jersey. Like literally you would wear, if a National League city was hosting it, you would see the Phillies players wearing pinstripes. If the American League city was hosting it, you'd see them wearing gray jerseys in the game. Like that's just how it worked. Now they basically inverse the whole thing. On Monday night at the Home Run Derby, everyone's wearing their official jerseys. On Tuesday, they're wearing these ugly, like blue and beige slash red jerseys. I guess they're supposed to be like Texas, like cowboy colors or ranch colors. I don't even know what it was supposed to be, but it was so much better when they wore their own team's jerseys in the All-Star game. That's first off. I know I'm not unique on that take, but that's just something that is a reminder each and every year. Major League Baseball totally sold out for cash. Number two is I believe the Home Run Derby was better when it was under an out system as opposed to this thing now where they went to the clock and now it's clock and partially outs. I think you need to put a limit on how the number of pitches a guy can take, but you still do the out system so that way they're not constantly rapid fire swinging. They can admire how far the ball goes and they're not getting as fatigued throughout the round. So that's number two. Number three is a couple of pieces of audio here. Last takeaway I have from this. Justin, it is astonishing to me. Like, literally astonishing. Do you know, I don't know if you know this off the top of your head, so I'll put you on the spot. Do you want to take a guess? You were born what year?
2000.
All right, so it's the same thing that applies to me because nothing changed from 97 to 2000. How many times would you guess the National League has won the All-Star game in your lifetime? You've been alive since 2000. There was a COVID year in there, but close to 25 of them.
I'd say six.
Four.
See, I was going to say five, but you know who won at least one of those?
As who?
The manager, Rob Thompson.
Last year. Yes, I'm aware of that. Rob Thompson is one of four managers to manage the National League to a win in our lifetimes. And he's the only one to do it in the last decade. It's not as if we're looking, it's not like the American League is so much consistently better than the National League. It's not as if, even if they had better players, those best players come out for reserve players later in the game. Guys pitch, there are relief pitchers who come on for one inning or not even a full inning late in the game. That is totally random that the American League has just dominated. Had two winning streaks of 10 in a row just in our lifetime. So that's really, really bizarre. But what I ultimately wanted to get to is a couple pieces of audio here. This was before the game, during batting practice. Bryce Harper sitting on with the MLB Network guys. He was on with the Fox. Was it MLB Network or the Fox guys? You remember, Justin?
Believe
it was MLB Network as well. He was on with MLB Network pregame because they were doing their pregame show during batting practice. And they were talking about just the Phillies' expectations this season and Bryce Harper specifically on whether he believes this is a World Series or bust year.
We are such a good team with hanging out, going to dinner. You guys know how that is. When the camaraderie is good, when the culture is good in the clubhouse, there's nothing better. And Dave Dombrowski brings in the right guys no matter what. I got chills because I know exactly what Dave wants to do. He wants to win. And it's not just this year. Somebody brought it up today. Is it World Series or bust? No, it's World Series every year, right? That's what the mindset is. And you guys know playing in New York, that's what it is. You same thing in Boston, that's what it is.
He came to Boston while I was there still.
100%.
And the minute he walked in, he was like, what do we need to win here?
Yep.
I'm pretty sure that's what he's doing
and
out
that's
there.
How he does, and that's how he does it. And I respect the hell out of him because he does such a great job of doing that.
So, number one, this is now the second time in as many days we've heard Bryce Harper talk about the team camaraderie and how much he loves going out to dinner with the guys. And he was out at Trey Turner's, what was the event they had? It was a barbecue. I forget what the theme of it was. But all the guys were over at Trey Turner's recently. I think there's a really unique thing going on within this Phillies clubhouse that does not always exist within Major League ball clubs. And I get, frankly, when you win, this kind of stuff seems to come with it. But there have been plenty of successful Major League Baseball teams who do not love each other to that extent. The other takeaway from that piece of audio that you heard there is I kind of like the mindset of it's not World Series or bust, it's World Series every year. That's how the Yankees think, it's how the Red Sox think. Now, maybe he's not fully educated on the history of the Philadelphia Phillies. They have had plenty of years where they had no shot at winning the World Series. I mean, they're one win away from getting their 63rd win of the season here, and in 2015, they got that in game 162. So there have been plenty of years where it's not been World Series every year for the Phillies, but I'm glad that he thinks that way, that while he's with the Phillies, it's supposed to be World Series every year. Because I do believe, I laid out the case, and I'll go to it maybe a little bit later in the show tonight, but in my show on Sunday, why I believe this is the best, the Phillies' best chance in this era to win the World Series is in 2024. Not in 25, not in 26. I think their odds to win the World Series will go a little bit down. I think they have an amazing, amazing team right now, and I think they really need to cherish that. So that was one piece of audio. Second piece of audio, this was from the Fox post-game show, which is Kevin Burkhart, David Ortiz, Alex Rodriguez, Derek Jeter. And this is, they were, you know, previewing the second half. They didn't have any other players guesting on at this point. All-Star game is over, and they're like, all right, let's take a look at the second half. Let's put everyone on the spot, our panel on the spot. Who's going to win the World Series? Just take a listen to this cut.
Going to put you on the spot. Derek, we'll start with you. Who's going to the World Series and who's winning it? Let's get a little prediction time here.
Yeah, thanks for starting with me. I think you have to, you know, this is difficult because a lot of teams change once you get to the trade deadline. But I think as it sits now, the Philadelphia Phillies are the best team in baseball, in my opinion. I think the Phillies go to the World Series. And I think they're going to be facing the Baltimore Orioles. And the reason why I say that is the Orioles minor league system is stacked. And they're the team that's in the best position at the trade deadline. So I think Baltimore goes to the World Series. Ultimately, Phillies win.
Not so fast, Captain. This is Base KB on Brian Cashman having a huge trade deadline moment. Mm-hmm. Maybe a big move or two, Poppy. And what I like is, if he does, I like the Yankees winning over the Dodgers in a rematch of the 81 World Series in seven. Yankees in seven over the Dodgers.
Oh. Not so fast, big guy, either. You guys might think I'm crazy.
Watch we this. Do.
Karen?
Uh-oh.
Oh, nice toss, Karen.
I got to go to my Red Sox. Remember what I told you. Jacobo Trey, master of none. The front office. We're going to make some move. Okay. We're going to get what we need. And we're going to get the Phillies at their house. We're going to finish them all. Dave Dombrowski, my guy, watching us. Good luck.
Yeah, listen, Red Sox have surged. They're only 4.5 games back.
It's okay.
And speaking,
we'll be back.
I mean, as I've always said, huge fan of Derek Jeter on that panel. Love the guy. Never had an issue with Derek Jeter. A-Rod and David Ortiz. I mean, are these just fanboys? I mean, literally, there are... They sound like callers into WFAN or into Boston Sports Radio just being like, yeah, this is the year we're going to do it. Like, you're paid analysts. If you think the Yankees are going to do it, fine, but obviously there's some bias with A-Rod. Like, David Ortiz thinks the Red Sox are going to win the World Series. Come on. So that made my blood boil seeing that. Jeter, good for Derek Jeter. Not even putting the Yankees in the World Series. He's an unbiased analyst. He understands that Fox, you know, pays his paycheck now, not the Yankees. A-Rod still thinks he works for the Yankees. David Ortiz still thinks he works for the Red Sox. Totally ridiculous. Totally, totally ridiculous. The final piece of audio here, and this is shout out to Justin for finding this. I actually have not heard this audio yet, but Shohei Ohtani, who homered in the game for the National League. By the way, I forgot to give the score. The American League won this game 5-3, so another win for the AL. They start a new winning streak here. Only manager, as you heard Justin and I say, to win for the National League in the last 10 years was Rob Thomson. American League, now they have a winning streak of after the NL won last year, AL wins this year by a score of 5-3. It was Jaron Duran from the Boston Red Sox who won the MVP. He had a two-run home run in the bottom of the fifth inning. Shohei Ohtani, though, had a three-run home run in the top of the third inning. I'll tell you how the Phillies players fared in just a second here. But Ohtani, who had a three-run home run and was maybe in line to get the MVP if the NL could find a way to win this game, he was asked post-game who impressed him most from the, I guess just from the entire game, but maybe more specifically the NL side. Take a listen to how he answered this through the help of his translator.
You know, I had an opportunity to get a pretty close look at Bryce Harper and the kind of preparation that he does before the game. So it's really Bryce Harper stood out to me.
I mean, it's pretty cool. Best player in baseball, biggest name in baseball, decides to single out Bryce Harper, that he stood out to him. Bryce Harper had a double in this game. He went 1-for-3. Trey Turner went 1-for-3 with a hit. Alec Bohm went 1-for-3 with a hit. So pretty cool that if you had your parlay in tonight and you said that all Phillies were going to get a hit, they all did that. Christopher Sanchez had a two-pitch appearance. He came in, got two different outs on one pitch, and then Torey Lovullo had obviously predetermined that after two outs he wanted to get another pitcher in, immediately yanks him out of the game. So no three-batter minimum in the All-Star game. Pulls him after two pitches. So he goes two-thirds of an inning, No runs, obviously, two pitches. Matt Strom threw a third of an inning, got a strikeout. He did that on five pitches. And Jeff Hoffman threw all four pitches for a third of an inning. So don't worry, no one threw their arm out. Phillies pitchers threw a total of 11 pitches in this game, and the most was Strom with five. And all the Phillies had a hit. So really, really cool that those six guys got to participate in the All-Star game. I remember years and years of guys like Pat Neshek being like the only Phillies All-Star representative, and I was sitting there waiting for the one reliever in a Phillies uniform to get in to this game. There was a moment during the Fox broadcast where Harper, Turner, and Bohm were all mic'd up together. Like, the Phillies were front and center in this game, and they were front and center in the national discourse of they're among the favorites to win the World Series, whether it's Jeter or otherwise. Just really, really cool. And I love the All-Star game, if you couldn't tell. So that is kind of just my takeaway from that. Got to hit a break here. Bill, I see you. I promise I will get to you in the next segment. But on the other side, got to bring over a segment that I do on my weekend overnight show here to the John Johnson hour, so to speak. It's a segment called You Complaining. Justin has never produced it. I'm going to explain it to him and to everyone out there listening on the other side of the break. You are listening to Dan Wilson right here, Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We the people of the ballpark are all in on baseball. We deserve dingers and dogs, sunshine and a beat, a place to take it all in and let it all out. Baseball for the people. Baseball is something else. Visit MLB.com/tickets and spend this summer with us. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
What if everything you learn in history class was only half the story? I'm Dr. Harini Bhatt, host of Hidden History. Every Monday, I go where history gets mysterious. Vanished civilizations, doomsday prophecies, paranormal phenomena, and events that science still can't fully explain. On Hidden History, I treat these moments like open case files. Not myths, not superstition, just incomplete explanations waiting for a closer look. Listen to and follow Hidden History, available now wherever you get your podcasts.